This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening, this is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Jake Sarwar. Thank you for joining us tonight. And welcome everybody back to a new semester here at King's. Tonight's top stories are the record-breaking freshman class size and a historical marker placed at the Uber Breaker. We'll also take a look at this week's markets with the Business Beat, listen to this week's music spotlights, and get a Monarch Sports update. As everyone moved in and settled into classes, John Flynn, our program director, met with the residence life and admissions staff to get their take on the King's class of 2021, the biggest class ever at King's College.
I mean, freshman class in the 72-year history of King's College is larger and more academically accomplished than this year's incoming group. The class of 2021 that assembled at King's College just 13 days ago for the very first time is a nice blend of domestic and international first-year students. Totals of this year's class estimate to be around 700, says admissions counselor Michelle Oliva. After a few years hovering around similar figures, say around 500 to 600 students admitted per year, this year's group size increased dramatically.
The percentages do vary from year to year, but we're fortunate enough to have seen a significant increase this particular year, which is a monumental time for the college.
Another variable to the dramatic increase in student population is in part because of new programs, such as the hockey program that is set to hit the ice later in the fall.
We're proud to say many of them are coming from tri-state area. However, we've been fortunate enough to have some very interesting states in the mix, such as Florida, Texas, California. So we're really fortunate in that regard. And also hockey has brought students from Canada as well. So we have some international students playing hockey.
Oliva also believes that the sense of community is a big reason why this year's class was so large. From the moment they stepped foot on campus at the cul-de-sac outside Holy Cross Hall, Oliva and the rest of the admissions staff are fortunate that the welcoming spirit of the Monarchs has played such a huge role in growing the community every year, and are gracious to have accepted such a large amount of students.
It's welcoming all around from the time they drive into our Holy Cross parking lot as the admissions parking, and for meeting security staff, for meeting admissions staff, everyone from dining staff, residence life, anyone who they come in contact with has been most welcoming to them, and that has truly made the difference. They feel at home here. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to reflect back on such a great time for King's College, and we look forward to doing it again and bringing in not only the most academically competitive class, but also a class into the most welcoming community that I know of.
Meanwhile, Residence Life believes that the historic class will have plenty of opportunity to build a positive social experience as the Monarch's map expands. Sean Ziller, director of Holy Cross Hall, believes such that, and also thinks preparedness and past experiences in prior years will help Residence Life prepare for future incoming classes.
I think regardless of the class size, there's always a difficulty in making sure that we have things prepared. The good thing is we've done this a number of years, and we've done it enough times that we kind of know the ropes and know how to handle that large amount of students. So it was just making sure students felt comfortable here and making sure that things were moved in efficiently and that they had all their questions answered. So we really worked hard in the summer to do that. I think since we've had bigger class sizes before, and then obviously this year, we're well prepared for the future. And again, we're always willing to not only assist new students, but also returning students and making sure they have all of the information they need to make those housing decisions. And we'll help them, again, in signing up and doing lotteries. And certainly we know that we're going to prepare our students the best we can and make sure for the next year they're well informed. I think it's a great opportunity. I think the large class size is a great opportunity for students to really get to know different people from different areas and different backgrounds. So again, I think it's just going to be a fruitful year.
If you are a high school senior and are interested in looking at King's College, there are open houses scheduled for Sunday, October the 22nd, and Sunday, November the 12th. And senior preview days take place every Friday in October, November, and December, in which classes are in session. Please see the King's Admissions website for more details. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director John Flynn.
The Huber Breaker is a local historical landmark that exemplifies the region's coal mining past. The breaker was demolished in 2014, but a Pennsylvania State Historical Site marker was dedicated to mark its significance in a Labor Day ceremony. Station manager Katie Pugh attended the event.
King's College was founded to educate the sons and eventually daughters of coal miners. Northeastern Pennsylvania was once a major industrial and cultural hub, though the casual observer of the region today might not pick up on this rich history. Coal mining extracts ore, specifically anthracite ore in this region, from mines that needs to be sorted into pure coal pieces. Massive processing plants called coal breakers facilitate this process, and the Huber Breaker in Ashley was one of the most technologically advanced in the world. The Huber Breaker received an official Pennsylvania Historical Site marker on Labor Day, with a dedication ceremony from several state and local officials. Bill Lewis, commissioner of the PA Historical and Museum Commission, discussed the breaker's importance.
This is a dedication of the state historic marker for the Huber Breaker. It's recognizing what was the largest and probably the most modern of all the coal breakers that was ever built in Pennsylvania. It was probably the most technologically innovative breaker that had ever been in Pennsylvania. On top of it, the amount of coal that was extracted here was just extraordinary. So it kind of has the whole history of Pennsylvania's role in the Industrial Revolution. It's a history of labor in our state and the hard work of the people who worked here. And it's also just a history of innovation in the anthracite industry.
State Senator John Udichak, the keynote speaker, helped get the historical marker at the breaker.
Well, Pennsylvania has the Pennsylvania Historical Museum Commission. They do a wonderful job honoring the rich tradition and history of Pennsylvania. We worked with Mr. Lewis of the commission and advocates here locally that wanted a marker. They wanted to preserve the Huber Colliery. That was not in the cards. We weren't able to do that. It was just too much money. But this is a beautiful marker that tells the story and will for all time and for eternity tell the story of the anthracite miners here in Ashley, Pennsylvania.
The original structure of the breaker was demolished in 2014, so many, especially the Huber Breaker Preservation Society, worked to get an official historical marker placed at the site. Steve Biernacki, a board member of the society, discussed why he thinks the marker is important.
Well, coal mining is the history of this area, whether it's from Scranton on down to Schuylkill County. I mean, it's been part of this area. It's our beginning. I mean, everybody, like one of the speakers mentioned, you can't go anywhere without running into somebody that has an uncle, a nan, a grandfather, a father that either worked in the mines or did work around the mine. So it's just part of our, and I just hope the younger people follow through with it.
Senator Udichak also announced a revitalization program in partnership with Penn Strategies, an urban development company. The project is meant to bring new residents and businesses to Ashley.
Officials here in Ashley are charting a path that will revitalize Ashley's Main Street. A centerpiece of these efforts will be this beautiful Miners Memorial Park that will make the Huber Breaker once again a gathering place for Ashley families. Heritage tourism, as beautiful towns like Jim Thorpe and Carbon County have taught us, can attract thousands of tourists and encourage new businesses to invest in small communities.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Station Manager Katie Pugh.
Coming up, we'll hear the weather, a look at upcoming events in the Burke Auditorium, and what King's is doing to help the victims of Hurricane Harvey.
Hi, I'm Gary LaVox from Rascal Flatts. You know, music has always been a huge part of my life. It's something that I started pursuing as a kid and never gave up on. It took a lot of hard work and dedication, but it paid off. Music has allowed me to travel around the world and to meet a lot of interesting people. So don't let anybody tell you that your dreams aren't possible, because they are. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
I'm Bobby Hackney.
I'm Dennis Hackney.
And I'm Bobby Duncan.
And we're the band Death. And you're listening to WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
The news at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Hello, this is the King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich. The U.S. in review. Payroll growth slowed in August with employers adding 156,000 jobs. It is worth noting that the initial print for August payrolls has historically seen the largest upward revisions between the first and third releases. The unemployment rate rose to 4.4% amid a drop in the household measurement of employment. The labor force participation rate was unchanged at 62.9%. Manufacturers added 36,000 jobs, consistent with the leap in the ISM Manufacturing Index, which is a six-year high. Gains were also strong in construction and professional and business services. Despite the favorable job growth, average hourly earnings rose just 0.1% in August, keeping the 12-month change in wages at 2.5%. The labor market remains fairly tight despite the recent slowdown, which has helped to bolster consumer confidence. The Consumer Confidence Index rose 2.9 points in August from an already elevated reading. August's gains were mostly driven by more favorable views of current business conditions and the labor market. A larger share of respondents viewed jobs as plentiful, while fewer viewed jobs as hard to get. U.S. markets are watching events in Asia as the United States and North Korea exchange a furious tirade of threatening words. Posturing on both sides has worried the U.S. and Asian markets. In the wake of Hurricane Harvey, crude barrel prices have significantly risen, as have prices for gasoline and diesel across the United States. The majority of the gasoline and petroleum that powers the eastern United States comes directly from pipelines affected from the wrath of Hurricane Harvey. The Global Review. Canada's economy expanded at an annualized rate of 4.5% in the second quarter, besting market expectations of a 3.7% gain. For the second consecutive period, Canada's economy outpaced the rest of the G7 economies. In recent months, the year-over-year GDP growth numbers have crested above 4.0%. This is the fastest annual growth Canada has seen in roughly a decade. The faster growth is catching forecasters and financial markets somewhat by surprise. Even the Bank of Canada, which has been known to overshoot its growth estimates from time to time, is forecasting only 2.8% GDP growth for 2017 as a whole. Growth would need to slow meaningfully in the second half of the year to come in with anything below 3.0%. Canada's households continue to boost the economy, with spending growing at an annualized rate of more than 4.5%. each of the first two quarters of the year. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
This is Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC, and I'm introducing the newest album from the band Kingsborough. I've talked a lot about this band over the past few weeks, and it all started when I first got into their record 1544. This is their second album. It follows 2015's The Night, The Grind, and The Woes, and there's these three tracks that I'd like to share with you today. They are Low Down, Subtle Lies, and Something Strange.
Give me some coffee or tea, 'cause I'm tired of this place. Or something stronger if I have to get up again. Worries and dreams are the same, I'll slip away. Amongst liars and thieves, forgotten in the penitent.
You just heard three cuts off of Kingsborough's new album, 1544. Until next time, I've been Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC. Have a wonderful night.
This is your first Monarch Sports Update of the semester. I'm sports director Dan Stokes. Last Saturday, the men's and women's cross-country team traveled to Doylestown, Pennsylvania, to compete in the Delaware Valley Invitational. Six of the nine runners for the men's team ran in their first collegiate race. Freshman runner Daniel Mickles had the best finish among all Monarchs, placing 26th out of 95 runners. As a team, the Monarchs finished in 5th place. Three Lady Monarchs had top 10 finishes in the race. Former MAC Conference Rookie of the Year Tara Johnson finished in 3rd place out of 95 runners. Both Monarch teams will take a week off before traveling to South Bend, Indiana on September 15th to compete in the National Catholic Invitational hosted by the University of Notre Dame. The race is scheduled to begin at 3:30 p.m. on the Notre Dame golf course. The Lady Monarch volleyball team earned a 3-set victory over Clark Summit University to improve to 3-0 on the season yesterday. Junior captain Rachel Miller led the way with 7 kills, 5 digs, and 2 service aces. The Lady Monarchs look to continue their undefeated season against Centenary College tonight in Escandalon Gymnasium, beginning at 6 p.m. The Lady Monarch field hockey team looks to repeat as MAC Freedom Conference champion under the leadership of defensive captain Sarah Zabierski and Samantha Sharon. The Lady Monarchs dropped both games in the Misericordia tournament to number 3 ranked Salisbury University and Gwynedd Mercy University. The Lady Monarchs look to get their first victory of the season in their first home game this Saturday against Susquehanna University at 1 p.m. The Lady Monarch soccer team opened their season up with a 3-1 victory over Penn College. Danielle Putnam, Emily Harrington, and Allison Andrews scored goals in the contest. The Lady Monarchs make their home debut tonight with a 4 p.m. matchup with Clark Summit University at McCarthy Stadium. The men's soccer team has a 1-1 record on the season after a loss to Allegheny College and a win over Centenary College. The Monarchs play the University of Scranton tonight at McCarthy Stadium at 7 p.m. Last Thursday, the Monarchs played their first ever Thursday night home football game in King's College history. The Monarchs were locked in a nail-biter against Moravian College. The Monarchs won the game with a minute and 37 seconds left to play in the fourth quarter, courtesy of a 38-yard field goal by kicker Mike Tuminello. The game-winning field goal earned Mike the MAC Special Teams Player of the Week, conference offices announced on Sunday. Quarterback Zach Whitehead completed 27 of 44 passes for 309 yards. He rushed 20 times for 83 yards with 3 rushing touchdowns of his own in the 30-27 victory over Moravian College. Kings will travel this Saturday to face defending MAC champion Stevenson University at 12 noon in Owings Mills, Maryland. Stevenson dropped its season opener Thursday night to Frostburg State 33-7. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight's weather is going to be 66 with rain. Tomorrow we'll have a high of 70 and partly cloudy. And Friday we'll have a high of 67, continuing to be with partly cloudy conditions. Tonight at 6:30 in the Burke Auditorium, The Hunting Ground, a film regarding sexual assault will be screened. This film may contain content unsuitable for some viewers. Campus Activities is holding a fundraiser for victims of Hurricane Harvey. Please stop by the office and donate King's Cash from 9 to 4 on weekdays. The McGowan Center for Ethics is hosting a lecture on immigration by a University of Chicago assistant professor, Dr. Patricia Martius Roge, tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the Burke Auditorium. This has been the News at 5. I'm Jake Sarwar. Have a fantastic Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.